John chapter 10. Writers to consider of the same name. Verses 14 and 15. 14 and 15. The Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus, often, as we see at the commencement of this chapter, used the words, verily, verily. Verily, verily. The words of the Lord Jesus should always command our attention. And when the Lord issues those words, verily, verily, he certainly wants us to pay special attention to what he has to say. The Greek word verily means amen, and is the transliteration of the Hebrew word, which means truth. Truth. And throughout the four Gospels, it is usually rendered verily, verily. Indeed, whenever you read through John's Gospel, you will find that the words verily, verily, you will find them no less than 25 times. 25 times in John's Gospel alone, the Lord Jesus said verily, verily. So when he used the double verily, he was emphasizing a particular truth. Isaiah speaks about the God of truth, or the God of the Amen. Isaiah 65 and verse 16. And so Jesus Christ is the God of the Amen. And here, the God of truth and the God of the Amen was addressing the Pharisees and saying, truth, truth, or verily, verily. The verilies of our Lord were usually followed by the words, I say unto you. So the Lord would say, verily, verily, I say unto you. As though to emphasize it even further, I, the God of truth, say unto you the truth. I'm giving you the truth. I am the God of truth, and what I say is the truth. He first of all reveals the truth here about false shepherds. About false shepherds, addressing Pharisees who regarded themselves as indeed the shepherds of God's flock. The Lord was going to tell them a few home truths about what they profess to be or claim to be. He begins by giving a few titles to these Pharisees, these shepherds, as it were. He begins, verse 1, verse 8, describes them as what? Thieves and robbers. They're thieves and robbers. And then he gives them the title of stranger, verse 5. As well as them being thieves and robbers and strangers, he adds this to the list. He calls them hirelings in verses 12 and 13. They're hirelings. As we might know, and sure we know, a hireling is someone who has been hired to do a particular job. And that particular job that they've been hired to do doesn't necessarily mean that they have their heart in that job, that they really care about that job. And the Lord was saying, these false shepherds, they're only hirelings. For whenever danger arises, when the wolves come in amongst the flock, what does the hireling do? He leaves the flock. Why? Because he doesn't really care about the flock. He made it clear that they were not true shepherds. Verses 1 and 2, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd. Is the shepherd of the sheep. And so the Lord not only spoke about the sheep entering in through the door. Here he speaks about the shepherds. They were to enter in by the door. But if they haven't entered in by the door, of course we know Christ is the door. And the Lord is saying here, if they have not received me as Savior, if you have not accepted me as the door to eternal life, well then you're not a true shepherd, because you don't even know me. You're just a hireling. I wonder how many scattered throughout this land are occupying pulpits today, and they're nothing more than hirelings, because they've never entered into Christ, who is the door of salvation. No. Also, these false shepherds were not to be trusted, the Lord said. Verses 12 and 13. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catches them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not. Careth not for the sheep. And so, the false shepherd is not to be trusted. In the time of need, the false shepherds will desert the sheep. The Lord says they'll desert the sheep. Why? Because that's what they are. They're just hireling. They're nothing more. They don't care about the sheep. Now from there, the Lord turns his attention of his hearers to what a true shepherd is. And he does so by speaking about himself. I am the good shepherd. And he said that just immediately following he spoke about the hireling. They don't care about the sheep. The Lord says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's quite a contrast from the hirelings. The hireling would not endanger his life at all. When the wolf would come, he would leave the sheep. But Christ, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So let us look at the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see him first of all as the perfect shepherd. Whenever we want an example of anything that is perfect, we have only to look to Christ. Not right. We are looking to Christ and we see the perfect shepherd. If we're looking for a perfect friend, we can look to Christ. If we're looking for the perfect preacher, we look to Christ. What did it say The common people heard him gladly. They were amazed at the gracious words that came forth from his lips. He's a perfect preacher. And so they want to see the perfect friend, look to Christ. Want to look at the perfect preacher, look at Christ. You want to see the perfect man, look to Christ. You'll find no fault in him. Pilate, his enemy, know what he said? I find no fault in him. And you and I know that many who are the enemies of Christians, oh, they'll find fault in Christians, all right. But look at Christ, and no fault will be found in him. And as well, being the perfect friend, perfect preacher, the perfect man, he's the perfect shepherd. He's the perfect shepherd. Here we see, first of all, he's described as a shepherd. This is not someone else's description of the Lord Jesus, but it's the Lord's own description of him. John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God. Isaiah saw him as a sheep. The apostle saw him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But the Lord Jesus describes himself as a shepherd. Why did he see himself as a shepherd and describe himself so? Perhaps from what we know of him, we might suggest a few reasons. He's the perfect shepherd because of his, first of all, his compassion. Shepherds love their sheep. You recall that day in Matthew 9, where the Lord looked upon the multitude, and we're told he was moved with compassion. But then it goes on to say, because they seem to be like sheep without a shepherd. He was moved with compassion. He saw then that multitude of people as sheep, and they had no shepherd. Christ is one who is full of compassion. Also his care. We've just read those verses. When the hireling saw the wolf, he would leave the sheep, but not Christ. See, believer, Christ is our shepherd, and he cares about us. He not only cares about us, he cares for us. Well, I read over in Isaiah 40 and verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. What a lovely description of Christ. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. He shall carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. That's who he is. He calls himself a shepherd because he has compassion, because he cares, because of his companionship. The shepherd dwells with the sheep. The shepherds are there in the field with the sheep. We know that when the Lord Jesus came into the world as man, as God manifest in flesh. Shepherds were in the fields. They were with the sheep in the field. They were as it were, companions. And whenever the Lord sent the disciples out, what did he tell them? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You think also of his character. He had the character of a shepherd. David the psalmist could say, the Lord is my shepherd. Paul could see the shepherd in Christ, for he said, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Peter could see the shepherd in Christ, for he said, when the chief shepherd shall appear. And David and Paul and Peter, they looked upon Christ and they saw in Christ the shepherd. Let us look on Christ and see him as our shepherd. The one who has compassion on us. The one who cares about us. The one who is our companion. The one who will never leave us. So that's how he describes himself as the shepherd, the good shepherd. He's also the divine shepherd. Yes. The Lord not only gave himself the name shepherd, but he revealed something else about him. He revealed another name that belonged to Christ. A name which reveals that Christ is the perfect shepherd. What did the Lord say? The Lord said, I am the good shepherd. You see, he is the I am. Christ is the I am. I am. It contains each tense of the verb to be, and might be translated, I was, I am, and I shall continue to be. It's the incommunicable name of God. Christ says, I am. Christ declares, I am God. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. When Moses was sent to Pharaoh, he and the people wanted to know, well, who will send you? Who will I say? Send me. The Lord said, tell him, I am, a sent thee. Tell him, Jehovah, a sent thee. Christ is Jehovah. Christ is the great I am. Remember what he said in John 8 and verse 58? Before Abraham was, I am. You remember when Judas led that bunch of individuals into the garden to arrest the Lord? The Lord asked them, who seek ye? We read in John 18, John 18 verse 5, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. But look, the word he is in italics, not in the original. So we read, Jesus said unto them, I am. They came into the garden wanting to know, or saying that they were there to seek Jesus of Nazareth. But the Lord said, I am. Look again, verse 6. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Verse 8. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Three times the Lord declared, I am. Three times the Lord declared to those in the garden, I am God. And when you think of it, when he said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. He had only to speak the word. And those who came to arrest him were really rendered helpless. They fell to the ground. That's who Christ is. When he hung upon the cross, and those who say, well, he could have called 10,000 angels. Didn't the Lord tell Peter, I could summon 6 legions of angels, or 12 legions of angels? He didn't need to do that, because he's I am, he's God. He could have caused the earth to open up and swallow all those who come to arrest them, because he is the I am, because he is God. So in Christ, who's the great I am, we have the best shepherd, we have the perfect shepherd, we have the unchanging shepherd, we have the divine shepherd. And think of that, believer. Think of it. We have the great I am as our shepherd. No ordinary individual. We have the great I am. We have God as our shepherd. Being his sheep, we have the I am to protect us, the I am to provide for us, the I am to be present with us, the I am to make a path for us. We ought to rejoice tonight, a fresh believer, that we have such a shepherd as the Lord Jesus Christ, the great I am. Bless his name. Bless the name of the Lord. He's described as a shepherd. He's a divine shepherd. He's a delightful shepherd. A delightful shepherd. The Lord, speaking of himself, said, I am what? Good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He did not say, I am a good shepherd. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I am a good shepherd. No. That would have just made him one of many. But what he did say was, I am the good shepherd. That sets him apart from all other shepherds. I am the good shepherd. There's something else. You look at the word that the Savior used, that word good. The word good, the word tells us something more about Christ, our shepherd. The word means better. It can be rendered fair. It can be rendered honest. It can be rendered worthy. I am the better shepherd. I am the fair shepherd. I am the honest shepherd. I am the worthy shepherd. That's what he is to us. He's the better shepherd. The better shepherd. We can say he's the honest shepherd. Sure he is. He'll never deceive us. Shouldn't they say, I am the way, the truth? I am the truth. I am the truth. I don't just speak the truth. I don't just preach the truth. I am the truth. And his name also means worthy. Oh, he's worthy. Believer, he's worthy of all our praise. So when we come to God's house and we open the psalter and we open the hymnal and we engage our voices in singing and praise, we ought to praise the Lord with all of our hearts. Sing it out. Because he's worthy. He's worthy of all our praise. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Because we know Christ is not only the shepherd, he's also the sheep, he's also the Lamb. And whether we praise him as a shepherd or praise him as a Lamb, we ought to praise him with all of our hearts. He's worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lord. So he's the perfect shepherd. That leads us to consider Christ our personal shepherd. One of the characteristics of a good shepherd is a knowledge that he has of the sheep under his care. A true shepherd, unlike the hireling, will know his flock, will know his sheep. He'll know those sheep that are lame, he'll know the sheep that are unwell. He'll know all about each of his sheep. And here we see that the perfect sheep shepherd has a personal knowledge of his sheep. Verse 14, what does it say? It says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. I know them. I know my sheep. There is nothing that he doesn't know about his sheep. There's nothing he doesn't know about us. It shows us and speaks to us all the knowledge that Christ has. And you'll see it, it's a discerning knowledge. After he describes himself as the good shepherd, the next thing he says, and I know my sheep. In the original, it is rendered slightly differently. I know my sheep. Original may be read, I am the good shepherd, and I know those that are mine. I know those that are mine, and I'm known of those that are mine. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Basically what the Lord was saying. I know my sheep, listen. I know my sheep. In other words, the Lord will not claim those that are not his sheep. No. He knows his own sheep. He will only claim those whom he has bought with his own blood. Bought and paid for with the blood that he shed on Calvary. And that truth, the apostle taught, saying, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows them that are his. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. I know them. There are those, of course, who profess to be the sheep of the Lord. They profess to be the Lord's sheep. They profess to be in the Lord's flock. But no, the Lord knows them. He knows those that are his. Matthew chapter 7. there in Matthew 7, there we read verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will say, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. A strong language, isn't it? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. The word never is a strong word. The word never there means never at any time. Never at any time. I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. The Lord knows his sheep, you see. He knows those that are his. Turn to Matthew 25. And there we read in verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now that tells us that on the day of judgment, when all nations shall be before the Lord would need to know who the sheep are. The Lord would need to know who belong to him, because he's the one who will divide the sheep from the goat. The goats on his left and the sheep on the right. The Lord would need to know, wouldn't he? And of course the Lord does know. The Lord knows who his sheep are. He knows them, because he died for them. He shed his blood for them. He's coming again for them. That where I am, he said, there ye may be also. There'll be none in heaven. There'll be none in heaven except the sheep that the Lord bought and paid for with his own blood. That's something. Now there'll only be the Lord sheep in heaven. Those again like profess that they are the sheep of the Master. They're the sheep of the Good Shepherd, but no, no. The Lord says, I know those who are mine. That's it. As well as discerning knowledge knows those that are his, there's a devotional knowledge as well. To be a good shepherd, the shepherd must know all about the sheep. And remember, the Lord Jesus is not only the good shepherd, he is the great shepherd, he is the chief shepherd. the great and the wonderful talking about the Lord, and the great preaching about such a Savior, the good shepherd, chief shepherd, the great shepherd. He's all of those things. He's the perfect shepherd, and he's our personal shepherd. He knows each of his sheep intimately. Therefore, well able to meet every need. Praise the Lord. Christ is able to meet every need of his people. He knows his sheep. He cares for his sheep. His compassion on his sheep. He is dedicated to caring for them. That is why the psalmist was able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He knows when his sheep are weary. We get weary, don't we? We get weary at times. Well, he knows the sheep when they're weary, because we're told he maketh them to lie down. He maketh them to lie down. He knows when the sheep are hungry. So he maketh them to lie down in green pastures with them to fed. He knows when his sheep are afraid. That's when he will lead us beside still waters. The calming waters, not the roar of a fast flowing river. No. He brings us beside still waters. He knows when his sheep are wandering off, because David said, "He restoreth my soul." He knows when his sheep begin to wander astray, so he leadeth them in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is the shepherd we have. This is the Savior we have. Yes. And when his sheep come to the crossing of Jordan, what do we say? What do we know about our shepherd? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Our shepherd over there. The shepherd will be there. Notice, to the Christian, to the one who has Christ as their shepherd, death is only a shadow. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You need light to create a shadow. What does that tell us? Christ, who's the light of the world, is in that valley with us. He's in the valley as well, the valley of death. We know he's there because of the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord says, "Fear no evil, for I am with thee." What a shepherd we have. There's also not only a discerning knowledge and a devotional knowledge, his deep knowledge. I suppose we do not really know, really. We know, because the Bible tells us, but we do not know just how deep is the Lord's love for us. How deep the shepherd's love is for his sheep. But perhaps the words in the rest of the text will help us. Look again, verse 15. "As the Father knoweth me." Now get to verse 14. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me. Even so, know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And so the Lord here is speaking about his knowledge, how he knows the sheep, and he knows the sheep as he knows the Father. He knows the sheep as the Father knows him. That's what he's saying. Now, can we enter into that knowledge? Can we fathom that knowledge? Can we measure that knowledge? Can we plumb the depths of that knowledge? Can we scale the heights of that knowledge? No. It's something we cannot go into. All we do know is truth. And we believe it with all of our heart. But the Lord is saying, as I know the Father, and the Father knows me, that's how intimately I know my sheep. I know my sheep. Knows all about our faults intimately. Knows all about our failings and our falls. But it is a knowledge that we cannot fathom. But it is a blessing just to know that Christ knows us intimately. That he knows all about our weaknesses, how we feel him, and how we're sorry. He's touched, there it is again, he's touched, enters into the feeling of our infirmities. Blessed be. We consider Christ the perfect shepherd, our personal shepherd, and finally, he's our precious shepherd. Is the Lord Jesus precious to you? Is he really precious? Peter has rightly said in 2 Peter 2:7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And what is it that makes Christ so precious to us? 3rd verse 15. I lay down my life for my sheep. Does that make us precious? Make Christ precious to us? Read over this short discourse of the Lord and the shepherd, being the shepherd and the sheep, that the Lord often referred to him giving his life for the sheep. Throughout his earthly ministry, the Lord, the Savior, repeatedly spoke about his sacrificial and his substitutionary death. It was for his glory. I see in these oft-repeated words of the Savior, the cross work being his glory, I gave my life for the sheep. I see how he spoke about his death again and again. He gloried in what he had done for his sheep, and we ought to glory in him for what he has done for us. Should then we not speak repeatedly about what he has done for us? Paul says in Galatians 6 and verse 14, that God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world, not interested in the world. My glory is in the cross. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross. Tell you something else. In this portion of Scripture, the Lord spoke about laying down his life five times. We know what that number means. Bible numbers mean something. Five is the number of grace. Amazing, infinite, matchless grace. Five times it speaks to us of His grace. It brings His grace into focus. We did not deserve the death of Christ on our behalf. It was all for His glory. It was all according to His grace. We should stop and think about that more often. We talk about the death of Christ and we can just skip past it. Just think about what the Lord did for us there in Calvary. We notice also His willingness. His willingness. You look at those words again, and surely they must speak to us about the willingness of Christ to die for His sheep. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And that being all, there is to say about our shepherd, well, it would be enough, wouldn't it? But sure, we could say much more about our shepherd and all that He's done for us. But He willingly gave Himself to the scoffing, to the beatings, to the cursing, to the nails, to the cross, to His loneliness, His agony, and His separation from the Father. What a shepherd we have. And He did it all willingly. Not thy will, but thy will be done. There is the wonder then that these words not fill us with wonder. That I am, the great I am, would come into the world in the form of human flesh and take on that body prepared for Him and go to the cross to suffer, bleed, and die for His sheep, that is for us. That is a wonder indeed. We who deserve the lowest hell, that's right, we deserve to hear that sentence that the Lord uttered to those who pretended to be His followers, depart from me, I never knew. But we'll never hear those words. The Lord instead will say, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there He may be also. Our perfect, precious shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Lord, we rejoice in Christ our Savior, our Shepherd. One who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. One who loved us. Loved us before the hills and order stood or earth received her cry. Loved us. Knew us. Ever we fell in love with him. Ever we knew him. Lord, help us. Yea, Lord, keep us near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all. Free to all. A crimson stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Keep us near the Lord. These days, wickedness in this world, Lord, keep us near the cross. Lord, be with us throughout this week. Keep thy hand upon each one of us. Give us faith in our travels. And bless us, Lord, as we make our way home. Grant us all traveling mercy this evening. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now, forevermore. Forevermore. Amen.